Welcome back to Speak Up Las Cruces with today co-hosts Walt Rubel and Peter Goodman. And the guests for this segment are Penny Peace and Patty Wohan. Patty's with League of Women Voters, and Penny, who's also on our board here at Las Cruces Community Radio, runs a gallery called The Mad Hatter. Great name.
Thank you.
And you're having an exhibition currently of women artists.
Yes, we are. We have a special exhibit for Women's History Month, and the exhibit is called She Creates. And we are exhibiting the work of eight women artists who live in the Las Cruces area, but are also members of New Mexico Women in the Arts, which is the major art advocacy group for women in New Mexico.
Well, neat. And isn't there a panel discussion or a celebration or something going on Sunday?
Yes, there is. The League of Women Voters of Southern New Mexico has joined with Penny Peace at the Mad Hatter Gallery to celebrate women's history and focus on women artists. And that's Sunday, March 15th from 2 to 4 at outside the Mad Hatter Gallery.
And who will be participating in that?
Well, we have, I think, five. We'll have about five panelists, some of whom are the artists that have been selected for the exhibit at the Mad Hatter. And I think Penny can speak more to
yes.
Who are some of them?
Yes.
Oh, who are some of them? Oh, dear.
Yes.
Pop quiz. Yes, we are going to have Amanda Jaffe, who is a ceramic artist who creates wonderful tiles, basically. She is also retired from New Mexico State University's art department. We have Barbara Houghton, who is a recent arrival in Las Cruces, meaning within the last 3 years. She has a long exhibition history. She does cutting-edge photography. And then we have Suzanne Kane, who creates, again, wonderful sculptures and ceramics, and one or two others whose name I have forgotten. Oh. We hope that the curator for the She Creates exhibition, Mary Diesel, will also be able to join on Sunday.
Okay, and then I think you mentioned some a younger artist that you
invited.
Oh, yes,
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. We do have, because she's a local artist and is a member of New Mexico Women in the Arts, Kimberly Aviano. I'm sorry that I butcher names. That's one of the charms
of my
personality.
At least you can remember them, I can. Yes. You're doing better than I am.
I can see her face. She will be joining also. She's young. She's early 20s. She's a student at New Mexico State University. Does very evocative theme-based artwork.
Can you talk a little bit about the inspiration behind the idea of She Creates? That kind of an interesting title for the exhibit. And what were you trying to get across with both that title and the exhibit itself?
Well, I now wish I had, added to that title. I wish I had done She Creates, She Curates. Because, again, the, curation and the installation of art is crucial to the whole experience. Every year I, spend a chunk of time. This is the third exhibit for women's history that I have produced here in Las Cruces. And every year I'm at a loss for a title. And since I wanted the title just to focus on these women and what they do. And I chose She Creates because that's what these artists do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If I could add to that, and one of the reasons that we're all interested in this type of exhibit is that women artists through the years, their work has often been misattributed, sometimes purposefully and sometimes not, to their fathers, to their mentors or teachers or their husbands. Partners, husbands, lovers. Mm-hmm. And
same with women scientists, women musicians.
Exactly. Yeah, I think we're all familiar with the film. It's about 10 years old now, called Hidden Figures.
Yes.
And I think in the arts, as in science and all
sectors.
Fields. Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And for example, women novelists or women artists, painters, sculptors, and so on, often put out their work under pseudonyms of males and initials.
That suggests a question that I wanted to ask you guys. Certainly one of the great changes in our society over the last 100 years or whatever period you pick is the change in the status of women. And there are a couple others, but that's a major one, mm-hmm. maybe the major one. And it's generally improved over time. And now there's a significant sort of body of opinion that says, wait a minute, it's gone a little too far. Mm-hmm. We need to put a halt to that. And I suspect we think the same way about that. But how do you feel about it as women?
Right.
I don't know if I would
I'll
categorize
add to that,
it that way.
But you go ahead, Penny.
How I feel about it? Are there any bricks that I can throw against the glass here? I mean, Patty and I are women of a certain age, and we certainly, I'm not sure, I think I'm older than you are, Patty, but we've been through all the waves of feminism at this particular point. And while I'm sure this is true of Patty, but I know that my grandmothers and great-grandmothers did not have the right to vote, okay?
Right.
So certainly the passage of the 14th Amendment was crucial in gaining a certain, number one, allowing women
14th,
to vote.
14th, by the way, wasn't the one that got women voting.
Was it 19th?
19th,
I get those two mixed up, sorry.
Sure, understandably.
I am old.
They enlarged the franchise.
Right. Anyway, so I think that the fact, I mean, for me personally, the fact that my grandmothers and my great-grandmothers didn't have any rights, they could not even own property unless they were single, then they could. Mm-hmm. But they couldn't, so there were so few options. So I think that the whole women's rights movement things that have happened since 1920 are very meaningful to me. I'm only a couple generations.
And I would just say that there's growing concern, and understandably so, about the plight of young men today in America. That's a whole different topic, and one does not diminish the other.
No, it doesn't.
Right.
I mean, we're talking about rights for all. We're talking about everything impacts, However, March is Women's History Month, and we want to take advantage of that. So
yes,
we have a
fair
month.
Enough.
Do you want to address what she was just talking about?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, and so I'm very excited about Women's History Month, and I'm really glad we're celebrating it. And more than celebrating it, we're also correcting. And it's not to give women extra credit. It's to give them the credit that is due. And we're also not wanting to say that women's history is separate from history.
Yes.
It is history, and it's been unsung.
Just like Black history, and just like
exactly, and very underrepresented. And if I can speak to, I just have been for this event on Sunday. I've been doing some research on women artists and their representation, and so on. And MoMA in New York City, right? Yeah. 15% of the works are still.
That's a Museum of Modern Art in New York for listeners.
Thank you. 15% are women artists, okay? And then between 2008 and 2020, there's a recent study that I looked at, and only 11% of the new acquisitions have been women artists.
That's interesting.
And I would argue it's a vicious cycle. Right. So men have been recognized. And so men's art or men's work has been more valued.
Historically valued.
And then if you don't see women artists or women in other fields, then you think women can't do it, and then art galleries want men's work because it sells better and for higher prices.
Well, yeah, you know, considerably. You know, recently the highest priced paid at auction for any female artist was, I think, $52 million for Frida Kahlo. Mm-hmm. At the same time, a piece by Da Vinci. You know, he would have been a little bit older than Frida. sold for something like $153 million. So there is disparity, but
well, you're never going to compete with the masters. I mean, the men have a how many thousand years head start. So,
right. Well, they did have yes, but I you know, masters. You know, I think that there are historically many female masters, as Patty pointed out. Even those successful artists, and I'll just take one time period, say the 1950s, you know, they couldn't use their own names. Mm-hmm. My paintings would have been P period piece, right. You know,
all I'm saying is Rembrandt and those guys are always going to sell for, because.
Oh, true.
You know, I call them, it's not me who put the title of masters on them. That's how.
Right.
Well, also the age is part of it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, you're talking about antiquities at this point.
Exactly.
So, you know.
Right. But I'm thinking about Judith Leister. I don't know how to say her name properly, but she was she created masterpieces in the 1600s. They were masterpieces and recognized as such. However, it took 200 more years for them to discover that, in fact, her mentor didn't create them and her father didn't create them. And they both were attributed for over 200 years for her masterpieces. Mm-hmm. And other masterpieces like Rodin, who I've been fortunate to see his work, his partner spent years working on the hands and the feet on his sculptures. Mm. And she was a sculptor beyond that, making her own solo works. Yeah. And they were attributed to Rodin. So women have been creating masterpieces, but not receiving the
question,
credit.
To the extent talk with younger women about this or have younger women artists, are they as aware of the history? Do they feel the same connection with women who could not vote, or do they hardly even realize that that was true?
Well, this is a bone of contention for me, is that it's not just young women, but it's young men don't know their histories. That's what I'm finding out. I mean, I've been trying to get Judy Chicago's Holocaust panels here, you know, because I think that that would be an excellent way of educating the younger group about the Holocaust, you know, for example, among other events. And, you know, but then I think part of it is, you know, for me, my gallery has only been in existence for a year and a half. But one goal I have is the educational part, the role that art can play in education, for example, through, you know, subjects. Through experiences of both male and female artists, et cetera. So the answer to your question would be, I don't think they know. And then also what I'm finding, and Patty probably has experienced this also, is that younger women have a different approach, a different understanding, a different expectations, okay? And I think for some of that, it creates a little bit of, you know, shock on my end to realize that, you know, in my time, a man putting his hand like this was, you just shrug it off and you go about your business. And that's not always the case with younger women. They will interpret that as sexual advance. Mm-hmm. So it's different mindset. These things, history is interesting how it tends to evolve, and it seems to change every, say, decade or something, you know. Mm-hmm. And mindsets change also. So and that's something that I know that the League is interested in also, is education, you know. Also, the importance of, you know, voting. But I'm getting off subject now.
Well, yeah, I think precisely as Penny does. And I remember last year at the Women's History Art celebration that the League of Women Voters held, a young woman saying, "I thought everything was an even level playing field now. I'm shocked to hear of things that indicate that that's still not the case." And yeah, I think it's all part of that vicious cycle, and they might be less aware of it. But, and this isn't recent anymore, but Harry Potter, novelist, she was advised by the publishers to use
J.K.
Yeah, exactly. Not Joanne. Yeah. They said, well, people don't want to read about wizards in books by women. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Is Harry Potter 20 years old now? I don't know.
I'm sure.
But maybe they're familiar with Harry Potter and the fact, and but not understanding the fact that it still was the perceptions that we have because of what we've seen, whose voices have been heard, and whose work has been credited.
Talk a bit about the League of Women Voters. My mother was a local leader when I was, you know, barely able to pronounce the name. But, you know, what are they doing now? How has it changed over time?
Okay.
And are young women getting involved?
Okay, yes. The League of Women Voters, I'm actually just a recent joiner of the League. And yes, we are, I remember last year there was an article published about a local, I think in the Bulletin.
By, you know, Serena Johnson.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. About that event, the Women's History Month event. And she didn't say this, but, you know, a lot of white-haired, white women.
Yeah.
And
she did
it's,
say that in the article.
Okay. And so that is a problem.
Well, you say white, but the event that we're talking about Sunday is co-sponsored by the NAACP.
Yes, yes. They're an important part of it. And Bobby Green, the president, will be there, and I hope many of the other people in that organization. It's very underrepresented. Our league so far does not represent the population of New Mexico, and that's a huge aim that we have, and also getting the younger people involved. And I know politically, locally, more women have begun to be involved, and I think that's heartening. But anyway, what is the League of Women Voters? It's an organization to create awareness about voting and voting rights, and help ensure that voters can get nonpartisan information before they vote. And it's also as an organization, and this has really impressed me as an academic, the League members research public policy issues and in great depth. And then the League comes up with and this is from local organizations up to the National League of Women Voters. They come up with position statements.
We were talking about this in the previous segment. Has the League taken a position on the issue of voter ID?
You know, I think, yes. The SAVE Act.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
I assume you're against that.
Right, right.
But on the larger issue.
Yeah, I know that there's been a position, and I haven't recently read it.
That's fair.
About the SAVE Act and the disadvantages that will be for women to vote if that passes, because and that's another issue women have is changing their names
that's
and
right.
getting lost
that's
and
right.
and yeah so.
So it would
it
impact
could be,
women.
But I'm sorry, I'm not up to date on the position, but I do know arguing against the SAVE Act that will disenfranchise people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's fair to say that if you're asking for a birth certificate and you've been married, that birth certificate is going to have a different name than what you're using now. And so obviously women are going to be impacted by that in a way that men will not.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Whether it's intentional or not, it just is.
Right. Yeah.
If one can even get a birth certificate. Now, as you age, right. that gets more of a question.
Or find your right. marriage certificates well, or your divorce certificates.
And not everybody was born in a hospital.
Yes, true. That is very true.
But I think that the league is very interested in attracting a younger demographic and more diversity. I think that is on the agenda.
Right. Right.
In terms of membership. And it's, again, it's it all comes down. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No.
It comes down to, I hate to use that word, branding and marketing.
Oh, yeah.
And how do you do this? And, how do you position yourself so that younger people will willingly join versus being torn off the street, kind of thing. So I think that's a big issue for many organizations, and the League is one of them. And I'll certainly do anything I can to help the league in that pursuit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so, some of the issues that I know that we've taken up in the past year have been about healthcare and access to doctors and that kind of thing. Per capita, we're kind of abysmal. and water resource management, mm-hmm. Professionalizing and getting salaries for legislators, and then especially focused on education and the Yazzie Martinez mm-hmm. lawsuit and trying to equalize the education that students are getting here in New Mexico. Yeah. So those are some of the
And
big
I think
issues.
That one other issue that I think that certainly maybe the focus isn't on locally, but it is nationally, is the status of the ERA, which then again mm-hmm. relates to certainly women's rights and women's history. It's I was reading about the status the other day just to remind myself, and I was shaking my head. It's like
how many years?
I was going to say, anybody who's listening to this isn't 50 or older isn't going to know that you're talking about
exactly.
the Equal Rights Amendment. Yes.
Exactly. Right. I rest my case. And this
so
is
same,
a part
say
of,
more about it.
For yeah. It's a part of history, and it's something that's floating there in the cosmos or something, that none of us really understand. We can
tell listeners what ERA even stands for.
Equal Rights Amendment.
Average.
Equal Rights Amendment.
Right, and it was, if I remember right, you need 3/4 of the states, and they're like 2 or 3 states short, and it's been that way forever.
They received, Virginia finally voted on it, I think it was late last year, I think.
So here's my question. At a time when women, it seems to me, you can clearly vote, you can sign contracts, all of these things that you said women weren't able to do, now you can. And so why is an Equal Rights Amendment needed in the year 2026?
Well, the Equal Rights Amendment certainly is thought, the people think that it's related only to women, but it's not. It's, it applies to all genders.
Okay. But so how would they be...
How would it affect things?
Yeah. What privileges would you have that you don't have now?
I think that I can't answer that question, Walt. I'm a little rusty on my history here. But I think that, again, that if I think that there were 2/3 of the states who ratified it.
At
in
least.
19, or the ERA.
Uh-huh.
And then right now... The thing is that the ERA was ratified, okay, but it's sitting in the archivist of the America's desk, waiting to be placed into what is that journal that the Congressional Journal or something?
Congressional Record.
But there a record. Yeah. But some of this is going to. It's been appealed to the Supreme Court, and I believe that the court is going to. Here on this issue, I think it's in a couple of months. Also, for me, it's if there are gaps in the guarantee of human rights, then we need to correct them. And if the ERA does that, yeah.
I think it is to have the rights right there in written and recorded. I think that will.
And the big issue has been since, I'm not sure what year, but that ratification missed some deadline, and that's the issue. And now the recommendation is that the whole process start all over again for the Equal Rights Amendment. So, but again, it's even for me, I don't know all of the current history about where it is, and that's something we should think about having a workshop on or a talk on is because I think I had approached the league a couple years, maybe last year, saying, what is the status? Because I was very confused about what the status was. I knew that it's sitting in the archivist's desk, and I just imagine this, you know, old wooden oak desk piled high with papers, and that is where it is, probably at the bottom of the pile.
I think there's a dispute about whether it has to be ratified within a certain period of years,
and that deadline was missed. I do understand that.
We're coming toward the end of our time. Much fun as it's been, but before we end up having to run real fast, I want Penny to tell us again about the art show and when this gallery is open and where it is and everything people listening might want to know to go to that. And then we'll ask Patty about the event on Sunday.
Well, the Women's History Month exhibit is called She Creates, and it is held at the Mad Hatter Gallery, which is located at 221 North Main Street. And the exhibit, we have decided we're going to extend the closing date until, I believe, April 21st-ish due to, quote, demand. And the hours of the gallery are Wednesday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and we welcome private appointments. If you want to come in and take your time to view the exhibit, please email me at themadhattergallery@gmail.com.
And very briefly, Patty, what's the event 2 to 4 on Sunday?
Okay, so the League of Women Voters and the Mad Hatter Gallery event will take place March 15th. It's a Sunday. And it will be from 2 to 4. There'll be an artist panel and women artist panel. And maybe in my lifetime, we don't have to say women artists anymore. We can say artist.
Yes.
But not in my lifetime, I'm pretty sure.
Well, thank you both for being with us today, Penny Peace and Patty Wohan from League of Women Voters.